Friends, you may be seated. Thank you, worship team. I have David Van Skyock, our youth minister here, and David told us a joke last service, and I said, David, here you go. We usually like to start with something fun. So, David, step up, swing away.
I don't want to tell a joke. It's like your dad bringing you up here, and you're just like, no. Okay, so I heard a joke in youth group this last week, and there were two olives. There was a big olive and a small olive. Whether they were green or black, I don't know. You guys can use your imagination. But there were two of them, and they're sitting on the counter, kind of just hanging out, and then the small olive fell off. So the big olive looked down, and he said, hey, are you okay? And the little olive looked up, and he said, olive. PBH,
yes,
do you
sir.
Mind if we can pray you off?
Yes, please do, yes.
All right, can we extend our hands toward Pastor Paul?
Thank you. New series.
Lord, we thank you that you are God of miracles, that you are God of healing, that you are unfailing, that your power is beyond our comprehension, yep. And how you just always exceed expectations. And we know, Lord, that there is never a dull moment or never a time that you don't want to speak to our hearts. And so, Father, I just pray your anointing and your spirit just over this new message, this new series, God, that it would bring some fruit to our lips, that it would bring just a satisfaction to the soul. And Father, I just pray your anointing and your Holy Spirit upon Pastor Paul this morning, that God, that your Holy Spirit would just deliver, Father. I just pray energy over him, and God, just knock our socks off today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, David. Well done. Yes. Everybody say, olive. That's a testimony, huh? To declare the Lord is gracious. Friends, thank you. I trust that you have your Bible in hand. If you happen to need a paperback version, you raise your hand. Our ushers will be happy to distribute those to you. We're using the New King James Version. If you have another one, that's fine. Electronic, just go ahead and check out the password for our Hope Wi-Fi. It's right there in the center. So I think we have a couple of hands going up as well. Once again, thank you, David, for leading us in prayer. We are starting a new series. And the back of the bulletin, we encourage you to check it out. And though there is minimal amount of spacing, please grab a writing instrument and write down something that is very significant to you. It's impacting you. And so you, as you write it down, and then take it into that life group and share what the Lord has been showing you. Well, with that in mind, you'll know right now, you can see we're looking at the series. It's entitled Learning to Listen. Learning to listen. Just good communication anyway is always so significant, but learning to listen to two areas, for the voice of God and for the will of God. Learning to listen. I think there's no one among us that doesn't want God to speak somewhere, somehow. And I want to just add, it is not difficult to hear God's voice. It is not. One of the things that you have to remember is that in John 4, 24, comes along and it says so clearly that God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. He's going to now communicate to you, to your spirit. His spirit to your spirit. He's not going to come about in a physical sense and just speak a word so that you can hear. Though that might happen, God can use anything he wants, but not in a physical realm. When God speaks to you, it will come to your spirit. And usually you're going to say, well, that's an impression. And oftentimes people forget and they just think that's just a random thought. We know it's a good thing. It's kind of something that's necessary, helpful to remember. But when God speaks, do remember, it's not going to be brain to brain. It's not going to be some form of a mouth to your ear. Again, though it can happen, it's going to be his spirit speaking to your spirit, because God's a spirit. And it does help for you to be born again of the spirit, because God wants to speak. Now, we are ready to listen? That's a good question. Are we ready to listen? Because with that, many times it's important to even ask why. When you take a look at that, why do you want to hear God's voice? Because you know, motive is very important about anything that we do. Motive is real, and God knows our motive. So why do we want God to speak to us? That's important because there is the longing in our hearts to want to hear him, but sometimes we just aren't in the right place, and we're going to learn to listen. That's the beauty of that. So I think it's the greatest benefit of being a Christian. It really highlights and amplifies our relationship to God, his ability to hear. Many times you can just kind of gravitate toward what prayer might be. It's like, well, I will talk to God. I trust he will listen, hear, and I expect him to respond. It's kind of like that, man, I'm doing the right faith movement. He's got to respond. But if you allow him and the right setting, you'll hear him. It is not that difficult. Oftentimes when you hear that prompting, I know we're going to hear certain stories of mine that I just realized that was the Lord. We could all say, man, I made some terrible mistakes. Now that I look back at that, that was the Lord. But because of people's opinion or pressure, I opted not to do that. Only realized, that was God. I know it was God now. So as we learn to listen, God's Spirit speaking to your spirit. So as we look here, it's important. So don't ignore your heart when God starts to make that impression. Oh, we love that element of Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll start to speak those things to you that are so important and wonderful. Well, I want to highlight what we're venturing into as we learn. One, I like to call it the listening matrix, because in that element is so important for us to set our pursuit in the Lord, because the culture that we lay out, both here at Hope Chapel, even in our life groups, to be sensitive to hear the voice of God, to say, wow, I feel impressed. How do you feel? Well, God seems to be speaking. See, when people oftentimes might say, well, I really haven't heard from the Lord for a while. I don't know what he sounds like. There are times I'll ask an individual, what was the last thing you did hear God speak to you? That's important. And are you following that? In other words, are you obeying? Because if we are not obeying the last thing we received, we need to go back to say, what was that first thing you heard from God that you stopped engaging with? Because let's clear the accounts. Let's take care of all those things. Because you want to hear from God. I want you to hear from God. God wants you to enjoy that relationship with him. So as we look here, let's take a look at that matrix for listening. Letter A, stop running. Stop running. When I talk about stop running, it just that element of just being busy, no, we get it. Matter of fact, ask anybody, hey, how's your life? Oh, man, I'm just so busy. I've got this schedule. I've got this homework assignment. I've got this element I'm taking care of, and become so involved, I don't have time. But stop running. Isn't it interesting that Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 26, 40 to 41, remember when he's in his hour of distress in the garden, he said, can you watch and pray with me for 1 hour? Watch. Stop running. Just watch. He used the word watch quite a bit. And could they? No, they all fell asleep. So when we consider that element, watch and pray, he went on to say the Spirit's willing. God speaks to our spirit. Our spirit's willing. But man, the flesh can really be a hang-up. So stop running. That element of stop running could also be involved in the area of just sin. Somebody's like the prodigal. They're not done running away from what God has said. Stop running. It's like Elijah. Isn't it amazing? The prophet Elijah. What a guy. I love in James chapter 5 says, man, Elijah was a man of like passions, weakness, and yet he called that it not rain, then he called that it rained. It's just a person like me, ouchy, flesh and blood. And He spent time hearing from the voice of the Lord saying, you go into that desert and a widow of Zarephath will assist you with miraculous cruse of oil and flour. God spoke to him. He obeyed. And then the amazing Mount Carmel standoff. Remember, we're going to take our Israel tour team there. We're going to be on Mount Carmel. Miraculous revival hits Israel. And then one woman, Jezebel, threatens his life. And he runs. He runs so physically hard and spiritually 100 miles away from Mount Carmel. He listens to one woman's voice and he is now running. And eventually God catches up to him when he's sleeping some things off. And the voice of God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And amazing. I love that aspect of my life. When God speaks, even if it's a challenging thing, you know it's the Lord. Oh, I love that. Nothing quite supplies the need of the Christian. No human intellect, no display of grandeur, no angel voice, only the voice of God. And you know when he speaks to you, he spoke to Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? You know, he stopped running from there. He was fine. It's an amazing thing to stop running. When we talk about people just running from God, I've had occasions where I'm sitting with individuals and asking that man, please, God has so much more for you. Stop committing adultery. And that man said, no. Have you heard from God? No. Are you done running from God? He said no. So not much more you can do from that. Stop running. Stop running. Matter of fact, just turn to somebody and just practice that word. Stop running. Just go ahead. Just stop running. Let's get hearing from God. Yeah. Slow down. Find that place of quiet. And listen for the voice of the Lord. It's the Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Boy, that's a great one. We'll dive into that as we go. But look at letter B. Listen to the Bible. That little matrix of listening, wow, isn't it wonderful how the Word of God, the Bible already says that it is the Word of God. These prophets and men of old said, these are revelation of God. We're going to look at Habakkuk here in a minute. Habakkuk saying, God spoke to me, said, write it down. So when we look at that, it's so interesting. Even the word revelation in the Latin means to pull back the curtains on a stage. That's what revelation means. You say, well, man, there's something about to happen. What are the intricacies, the behind the scenes? God says, I'll tell you. I'm going to give you revelation. It's a wonderful day when a Christian says, I'm starting to hear from the Lord, and it's marvelous. So the Bible really is God's word reaching out to us to inform us, to connect with us. So stop running. Get into the Word. And if the Word's not doing it because you're needing some direction, then let her see. Listen to godly counsel. I remember there was an episode in my life. One of the most important decisions of my life was in 1980. I remember not wanting to go to college anymore. I wanted to quit college. I wanted to quit working for the family printing business in Pasadena. I wanted out. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I remember a little four-square church in Azusa, California. Pastor Elmer Nelson said, Paul, you always tell people about Jesus. Why don't you consider going to Bible college? Not even knowing anything about four-square or the Bible college, but it just resonated. So I went, and I told my mom and dad, I'm quitting college, and I'm quitting the business. All H-E double toothpick just hit the fan. It was not good. And the pressure was on me so much that I put everything on hold. And that was the worst 2 months of my life. I was so in misery. And I said, Lord, I knew it, our pastor, but what does the word say? And I went to Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And that, what we call a rhema, I knew exactly what God was saying. Paul, the path I've set before you is where your largest amount of peace will be. I knew I had what I needed. I pursued Bible college. Within 24 hours, I had confirmation of that decision. It was amazing. I am so grateful, and I am here to this day because of that encounter with God's word and the confirmation of others. Plus, within the first week of Bible college, I met my future wife, Ainsley. Huh? Hello, hot dog. Man, that's a big takeaway. So, yeah. And so when we listen to godly counsel, and we realize that, man, I'm just not too sure about what God's word's saying to me, go to men and women who have allowed the word of God to influence them. They're sharing from their overflow of what God's word has to say. It's an amazing thing, this matrix of godly counsel. And I mean godly because those are people that immerse themselves in Scripture. Through time test, they've applied the word of God. And you know that there's an element that forms and brings formation. See, we are in an age of information overload. There's facts and figures and there's images and opinions. But the one thing you won't get from all of that online stuff is wisdom. See, wisdom's formed out of a long process of the application of God's word, and go to the godly men or women and say, please help me in this journey that I'm having. Authentic person who's developed what it is to live life with the scriptures and live their life that way. Seek godly counsel. Proverbs says a lot about that, seeking godly counsel. Here's a couple of verses in Proverbs. You may want to write them down so you can enjoy that. Proverbs says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Chapter 12, verse 15. He who walks with the wise grows wise. 13, verse 20. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. 15, 22. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. 19, verse 20. Make plans by seeking advice. Proverbs 20, verse 18. So seek out people who can be your mentors. Now, I don't mean to just look around. I mean intentionally seek them out. You may want to just invite them for a cup of coffee. Just see what they're like. See if they ooze scripture. Something that's kind of happening in our society is that we often find cynicisms developing with the older generation and the younger. So many of us have seen our heroes in the political arena, in the spiritual arena, succumb and fail. So we think to ourselves, nobody needs to give me any advice. I don't need to go to that person. Man, they're weak and wobbly like me. So we become cynics. But what I actually do find is we have older generation looking down at the younger generation saying, they're not interested in listening to what I have to say. We have the younger generation looking up at the older generation saying, they're too busy. They don't want to spend the time that's necessary. They don't care. They don't have the time. What I do find is we have the younger generation really wanting and needing. So you have an elderly woman oozing with wisdom, time-tested, based on the scripture, no one to give it to. You have the young lady who says, I just need some help with my marriage, how to develop and work my children, how to handle my finances, and nobody to talk them through that. Lack of wisdom there. So seek godly counsel. Letter D, listen to prayer. When we take a look at the element of just prayer is really kind of where we're at. It's that fourth of the listening matrix. Many times we just reduce prayer to, once again, talking to God instead of talking with God. That's certainly not going to sustain conversation or communion or communication with the Lord. If you or I just say, well, I'm just going to tell God what I need, hope that he listen, and I'll just wait for the answer. But he actually wants to speak to you, friends. He really does. He's been waiting for this message to arrive to you. Stop running. Just spend time with him. Remember, that's that first impression. It's that sense when we pray and we focus our thoughts on God. And when we do, man, we get in tune and realize, man, I really am a son or daughter of God. I really do feel like the Lord is here in my midst. To focus in on him, crystal clear impressions, God's leading, God's wisdom, God's direction. It's a beautiful thing. And I know the Lord has that for you and he wants that for you. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I pray and wait for what he'll say and do. Man, can't be any clearer than that. Wait and pray. Let's take a look at Habakkuk here for a moment, because this is our diagram we're going to enjoy and lay out and use in ways when I am really seeking the Lord. I use Habakkuk's journey. And you might want to find that. You'll go to the Old Testament, but find Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Then move on to the left. You'll see Malachi, because Habakkuk's the fifth book to the end. You'll find Malachi, then keep moving to the left. You'll see Zechariah, then you'll see Haggai, then you'll see Zephaniah, and boom, there's the fifth to the end book, Habakkuk. Take a look at that. This is a great book. I suppose if we're going to say there's a problem with this prophet, and he is, it's the puzzled prophet. If Jonah is the rebellious prophet, Haggai, he is amazing. Habakkuk, I mean, is amazing because he's seeing with his eyes, and God's going to tell him the just shall live by faith. Do not look at what is going on in your life. That's what God is going to talk to him. His conversation with God. Three little chapters. It is a prophetic book. He's first taking a look at just the trouble and the trial that's happening in Jerusalem, because Babylon's going to come in and clean their clock. Josiah, a great king that brought revival into Judah and Jerusalem. Well, he was killed in Megiddo in the battle. And here Habakkuk is moaning that there goes the changes and transformation. And the next king after him, everything plummets down. And God's saying, get your act together, because I'm sending the Babylonians to take you all away. And he's looking around saying, Lord, how is it you're allowing this to happen? So when we see Habakkuk's sorrow, he's very contemporary, because he's like any of us. He wants to know, why am I here? Where am I going? What's the purpose in my life? And why is there evil, God? And he's writing this out. We know that Jerusalem fell in 612 B.C. So somewhere in that 26-year period, he's writing this. And he's not only wanting to know why is there evil, but he goes specifically, Lord, why do good people suffer by evil? And why, he's asking, does evil affect your people? That's a great question. And that is his struggle. So first chapter, his trial. Second chapter, God says, you got to trust me on this one because what I'm going to show you is for another season. And number three, it turns into praise and glory because he sees something in the midst of despair. Maybe that could be for some of you. Let's take a look here. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul, when he gets radically born again, he uses that line in Romans, in Galatians, Hebrews. Many feel he wrote it because the just shall live by faith. God speaks to Habakkuk and says, listen, I'm going to speak to you, and this is for another time. It's going to come, but the just are going to live by faith. And he gets his heart excited. For some of us, you've seen nothing but despair. You might even be listening to wrong voices, and you could be running. But not today. You're here at Hope Chapel. You're here watching Hope Chapel. And God's speaking. So let's take a look here just a little bit, because whenever I need to hear from God, I do these four things, and we'll certainly add to that. Number one, stillness. Look at what Habakkuk says in verse 1. Quiet yourself, basically, so you can hear God's voice. I will stand my watch. I'm going to place myself in some place where I can be quiet. I mean, you say, well, I just go into the bathroom and I pray at work. How quiet is that? You know what I mean? It's like, whoa, come on, come on. Find that quiet place. Allow the Lord to speak to you in that area. He'll speak. He says, I will wait. I'm going to be still. He's waiting for a rhema word. He's waiting for something. I'm telling you, you don't have to have the Lord say much. Just one sentence, maybe one word, and you know it's the Lord. Man, you know it's the Lord. I dig that about God. Because you can have a lot of words, be reading self-help books, great devotionals, and nothing quite there yet until God speaks. So stillness. Stillness. Number two, vision. He says, and watch to see. Look for the vision as you pray. What's that image? I don't get many visions. But that impression that comes on my heart, I think God's starting. Sometimes I'll just end up thinking about the Lord. Chapters and verses of a particular book come into mind. And you start to see things of what and how God wants you to know about what he's doing. James chapter 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1 says that, right? When you're going through counting it all. Joy when you fall into various trials. But you got to ask in faith. So, check it out. We call them here at Hope Chapel Jesus sightings. Anybody have a Jesus? We can say that's a testimony, but you'll know it's Jesus because you're having a vision of God doing something. If you haven't had a Jesus sighting lately, stop running. Stop running. And then number three, listening. He says, what he will say to me, I am going to watch to see what he will say. And that's a great faith statement. So recognize God's voice and spontaneous thoughts and that come upon your mind. I like that, don't you? I just love it. It's like, ooh. He starts to speak. Those impressions. Remember John 4:24. God's a spirit. He'll speak to your spirit. Speak to your spirit. And then finally, number four, journaling. You know, can you imagine not really expecting God to say anything so you don't bring any writing instruments? You're not interested in anything? And if he does speak, I got other things to do. God told him, answered him, and said, write the vision. Journaling's so important. My electronic iPad, I'm so glad I just can type that out on the keypad, launch it. I have them all dated. I love it. Those become altar moments in my Bible. Same with this Bible, except I can add more of my journaling when God gives me those aha voices. That's God. He wants to do that for you as well. So record the message. Record the message. Well, I want to just highlight, let's get prepared. Matter of fact, let's close our Bibles off, and would you just go ahead, let's sing this song, and let's see what the Lord would even just say to us as we prepare. We want to hear from him. I know we do. Most people aren't imploring God to speak because they need something to just make an adjustment in their life. Let's stand to our feet. Shall we do that while we just worship him?
We're going to sing the third verse, when he shall come with trumpet sound. We want to be found in him when he comes, don't we? Thank you. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone,
Christ alone.
Some notes here because I was just anticipating. People say, well, you know, what would the Lord say? Because there are legitimate concerns people have. I'm not used to hearing from the Lord, so Philly's going to fuss me out first gate. I'll just tell you what he's going to say. And then you build from that. But you'll hear me say it again. First, God wants you to know he exists. He exists in your life. And that he created you to have a relationship with him. He exists and he wants to have that existence with you. Third thing is that he loves you. And if you kind of forget that, remember 2,000 years ago, he came to dwell among us. That's how much he wants to be with you. And then he gave his life that you can have eternal life. And the third is he really wants you to go to heaven to be with him forever. And if sometimes we don't think that that is that urgent a plea, sometimes we don't even think there are others that are lost and not going to make it. We don't even consider their eternal destiny. If you're here right now, close your eyes for a moment and just say, man, I just need to turn my life over to Jesus. If you're watching by live stream, what an opportunity. The voice of the Lord goes forth. needing Jesus to save you and come into your life, if that's you, let me even just lead you in a prayer right now, or you're needing to reacquaint yourself and return to Christ. This simple prayer goes like this. Let's pray it out loud together, shall we? Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the world, that you died and rose to life for me. And right now, dear Jesus, I ask you, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm going to trust you for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Jesus, make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and feel confident, you just even want to put your hand up and say, I prayed to recommit my life or gave my life to the Lord first. Would you just do that? Right on. Right on. Anyone else want to share that and say, man, I'm willing to just let people know in this fine setting that I want to give my life or surrender my life again. We have Bibles, and now that you're a Christian here, that are available. Please see me as you're on your way out. We want to get you established in a life group. How great is that, too? Finally, I want to just highlight. I've asked our leadership to meet with me today at 5:30. Be praying for Hope Chapel leadership. 5:30 to 6:30, we'll be meeting in here. We're going to be implementing what you and I just went through with Habakkuk. We just came through a successful church plant last Sunday. And now God's wanting to start speaking things to this church. And we're going to see what God wants us to even ask. You know, there's what are the things we're believing God would even want us to ask? Because the just shall live by faith. So there's not only do we want to ask the Lord, and I know that's true with you, what is the Lord wanting us to do, but how? And when? Sometimes there are also important questions to go back to the Lord. I think he wants me to do this. But how? And when? Isn't that great? So we're excited about that. Thank you, leadership, for being here. What a great day. What a great day. You all look lovely. Let's go and enjoy some time in the Lord. And let's get back here and we're going to journey together. Learning to listen. Father, we thank you for your hand over our lives and the grace of the Lord that enables us to experience, Lord, miraculous sightings. So, Lord, let the peace of God come. And for those that have prayed that prayer to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, both here in the chapel and those who are watching through live stream, Lord, let the power of your Spirit come and reassure their heart they really are your child now and that they should not worry nor will they fear. God, you got this one, and they're going to grow great and do great things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. We're so grateful for your attention and love for God. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.